The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing? Good looking. What's going on, big boy?
Now I'm good looking. I'm
no longer handsome.
I'm not handsome anymore.
I mixed it in a little bit.
Better than handsome, or what is the deal?
I don't know. What is the? I think handsome is better than good looking.
Okay, so I've dropped down a point.
Yes, you dropped down a point. Brady, tell everybody where we are.
We're out at Natural Provisions. We are in Williston, and you know where we are. We're near in front of the Maple Street Plaza, from depending on which side you're coming from, but you know exactly where we are. So
right near my house. We're all going to my house after the show. Everybody that comes here, all the listeners.
Natural Provisions in Williston. We are here. We're in an all-local, all-organic Vermont store.
They've awesome
got great,
store.
Great beer here as well. This is our 101.3 ESPN Winter Craft Beer Tour continued, and they've got a giant refrigerator full of it.
And you can sample, too.
You can sample, thanks to our friends at Farnham Ale and Lager.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now that we were at Farnham like 2 weeks ago. I bought a four-pack of the Coconut IPA, something I never thought I'd drink. It was gone in one night. So they've got that. They've got a milkshake IPA
here that
I've already sampled.
I like milkshakes. You know that. So come on down. We'll be here.
You like
seven.
More than one milkshake.
That's for sure. You know, it's amazing because I've been in the store a whole bunch, especially when the weather gets better. They barbecue outside. And I come by, get myself a burger or something. Every Friday they do it. And it's so close to my house. I mean, I could walk, but I won't. I'll drive anyway. But, I mean, it's like a mile from my house. So I'll come by, get something.
Why walk a mile?
Yeah, why walk a mile, you know, and get myself something to eat. So I love coming here. So Natural Provisions will be here till 7. So come on by, say hello, and sample some of the beer. You'll love it.
Safe to say that we're not going to barbecue this particular Friday.
No.
The front yard.
What is going on? I got to tell you something. About an hour ago, I got on Twitter and said, April 6th, it's snowing, only in Vermont. And then, of course, people are tweeting me back. Happens in South Dakota as well, Arnie. Not so stinking genius. Also see hashtag Minnesota. And then I got one that says, come back to L.A. So there you got. What's the latest snowfall you remember here, Rich?
A lot further than this.
It is April 6th. Don't tell me it was June, Rich.
April
easy there.
April 6th isn't that late. We get a snowstorm, not a storm, but we get snow.
It's coming out pretty good, though.
It is. I'm hearing 1 to 3, maybe in the mountains. But
latest snowstorm I ever remember was probably about 2005. I remember in New York getting a foot on like April 15th.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Well, you're acting like that's only like 9 days from now.
But it's still a foot versus 2 inches. I remember, getting a snow day and then watching Mariners Yankees in Seattle.
Nice.
So
you remember? I remember some baseball games getting, especially in Colorado, getting snowed out.
Now, by the way, since you're always saying that you're the boss,
yes.
Why don't you tell people that I was nice and gave you the day off yesterday?
I called in sick.
No,
what are you talking
did not.
About? I called in sick.
Actually, the Red Sox did a favor.
Yes, Red
for
Sox
us
did
in
us
that
a
bottom
favor.
Of the ninth.
Oh my goodness!
I was just telling Brady before we went on. I was at the gym, which is a mile from the station. I'm driving around in circles, hovering around the radio station because I get out of the gym and it's the bottom of the ninth. It's
right.
4:15.
I'm on my way over to the station.
It was the fastest 9-inning game I've ever seen. And then how about those Red Sox? They get 2 to tie it, and it turns into a 3.5-hour game.
How long did you get it? What time did you get on yesterday?
6:31.
Oh, my goodness. So I did give you the day off yesterday.
Again, give me some props because I am dressed up in our nice station polo, and I apparently gave you guys casual Friday because you are both wearing 101.3 ESPN sweatshirts,
right.
And Arnie, you're probably wearing sweatpants.
No, I got polos under. I got the polo underneath this.
We're basically wearing the exact same clothes, both of us.
So I have given you guys dress down Friday. Well, I decided to class.
I'm wearing the same thing you're wearing.
You're not gonna. You will. Number one, I don't believe you're wearing the polo. And number two, so yeah, you're wearing a different polo.
Yeah, the gray one instead of the black one.
You just said you're wearing the same thing as me. You
have a polo, but gray instead of black.
Yeah, but you're not going to wear that polo at all during the show. You're going to stay in that sweatshirt the entire time.
Well, that's right. I will stay in the sweatshirt.
It is snowing and 30 degrees.
It is. It's snowing outside. What's wrong with you
for
crying out loud?
Boy, tough crowd.
By the way, Brian in Richmond wants to be the first to say happy birthday for Sunday, Rich. The best looking and smartest people are born on April 8th.
So that must be Brian's birthday also.
I did not know that. Happy birthday, Brian.
That might be a fact. We'll have to look that up if that's true, that the smartest and best looking
not,
are born.
Certainly not the best. I think John Havlicek is the eighth.
Oh, you got I that? Is, you think
Steve
so?
Steve Howe of Yes, who is definitely not good looking, was
any,
born in the
any
eighth.
Any special plans for your birthday or what?
No, I'll probably sit around and do a whole lot of nothing. Maybe get a pizza.
I don't think people understand when you get up to be Rich's age, and that's way up there. You don't really want to do a whole heck of a lot. You're just happy you reached the birthday, and that's pretty much it. Is it not, Rich?
All right, I'll go for a 10-mile run around the neighborhood. How's that, Ernie?
No, because you'll have a heart attack.
I mean, no, I won't. I won't have a heart attack. I just won't be able to walk for a month.
Yeah, who's exactly. Got worse knees, Kyrie or Rich at
this
point?
I know, that's very close.
Well, at least with Kyrie, it's all in one spot. Mine, it's just the whole lower body at this point. It's getting silly.
I think Kyrie could beat you in a race right now. I still think he could do
well. He isn't having his major surgery until tomorrow, so you're probably right.
All right, we got a lot to get to. It's a busy show. Come on down to Natural Provisions in Williston. We'll be here till 7. All kinds of sampling of the beer, the IPAs. Awesome stuff here. So, and of course, great market here, too. All kinds of great stuff to buy here. So come on by. They got a deli section there, too, Rich.
And if I don't say, if I'm not talking much, that's as usual, but I mean, I'm having basil pesto
yes.
dip.
That is unbelievable.
Crackers,
I know.
Which has been dropped from the heavens above into my mouth. Wow.
All right, Brady, what do we got coming up today?
Well, remember, Natural Provisions today till 7, Huddle till 6, CVGN till 7, Tuesday trivia at the Burger Bar. Remember, that's now our thing. That's every Tuesday night at the Burger Bar in Colchester. And, Arnie, we were in there for lunch today. Place was packed.
Awesome, yes.
So it was great. As for what's coming up on the show today, the Pats make another move. We'll get to that at 4:20. We'll still get some Red Sox ticket winners. We'll update you on the Masters. Because it's apparently spring in other places of the country.
Yes.
Adam Kaufman, Celtics expert, will join us at 5. Power play at 5:35. But first, look, I was waffling on this earlier in the week, but I think now this Kyrie Irving injury, I think it's sold. The Celtics have to do something crazy, and they need to open up their window to compete now. Outside of giving up Jason Tatum, I'm ready to give up just about anything to go get Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. Oh, you mean get Kawhi Leonard right now?
In the offseason. Yeah.
In the offseason. Okay, then I was a little confused. I thought what you meant, that you're willing to do anything, and that's to win this year. The winning's over, right?
The winning is over for
okay,
this year.
Okay, so we're all
maybe
in agreement.
Maybe a first-rounder, depending if they play Miami. They might have
I don't care about that. That means nothing to
me. You're right. The whole thing went up in flames.
We're pretty much agreement. The winning's over. Even if they were lucky enough to get to the conference finals, which I doubt, there's no chance they're winning an NBA championship, and I don't even think they're going to get out of the first round, but that's beside the point. I'm with you. Whatever it takes to get Kawhi Leonard, I don't want to give up Tatum. I'm willing to give up Tatum if I have to, if that's the only thing, if that's the deal breaker. I don't have much of a choice. I think I can work it where I don't have to give up Tatum, but I'm good to go. You could have everything else on my roster.
Well, you're not going to take Kyrie.
No, you're
not going to take Hayward.
And
you're not going to take Tatum. Those are the three that I would say.
That is it. And I'm willing to go ahead and I'd even, if they wanted Hayward and you want to make a deal with it, I'm willing to even do that also.
No, I'm not willing to do that.
I am.
That defeats the purpose.
No, it doesn't defeat the purpose with me. Then I use that money to get somebody else. But beside that, yes, I'm with you, Brady. I've got to get Kyrie Leonard on my team. There's no doubt about that.
Look, he's a huge piece. He's one of the top three or four players overall game players in all of the NBA. He would be unbelievable to get him. That being said, are you guys just assuming now that Kyrie Irving is in trouble physically for the rest of his career and that this team can't come back completely 100% healthy and ready to go next season as it was at the beginning of this year with Brown, with Tatum, with a year under their belt and go out and win a championship?
I am fearful. I was already fearful of Kyrie's
yes.
ability to play until 33, 34 years old. Right now, he's still only 26. So I am fearful of his ability to play well until 30, 31 at this point. So, look, the Celtics, the gift that they have is that their window to compete is pretty long right now, or it has been pretty long, because we say, well, Hayward's there long-term, Tatum and Brown are young, they're going to develop, Horford's got a couple more years, they got another couple high draft picks coming, and they can get Kyrie for that 5-year deal, and that window's open for a long time. I'm telling you, I'm fearful now that window with Kyrie is no longer open as long as we like to think it is. So you got to go out and make that flashy move now, because I also have to assume that whether LeBron leaves Cleveland or whether he stays, that eventually that window in Cleveland is closing. And Philadelphia, who's won 12 straight, that window is opening. I got to beat Philly to their window getting completely open and capitalize on Cleveland's being done. I got to take that chance and go all in now.
I don't understand. They said 4 months. Does that mean 4 months and he'll make it back no problem for the start of training camp? Or are we saying hopefully 4 months, otherwise he's going to miss the beginning of training camp and preseason, and then I got to start wondering what the hell is going to happen during the regular season. But at this point, it really doesn't make a difference whether Kyrie is 100% or not. You got to make the deal for Kawhi Leonard. Even if Kyrie's not going to be around for a while, I still got to get Leonard on my team.
And if you're a Celtics fan, do you feel a little duped about all this? The first thought I had when I heard he's gone, first of all, I wasn't the least bit surprised, but I mean, they had him ready to come back. He was ready to go, wasn't he? In about 2 weeks or a week, as soon as the playoffs started, everybody says it'll be fine, Kyrie will be okay. Then all of a sudden he has this infection and all this other stuff going on, and he's gone for 5 months.
What I wonder, I don't feel duped by the Celtics. What I'm wondering if, and I don't know that I feel duped by the Cavaliers, but this is a pre-existing injury. How did he so easily pass his physical, and the Cavaliers extracted another draft pick out of the Isaiah Thomas injury situation? This was a pre-existing injury. This bacterial infection, I'm under the impression, was already there because Kyrie was already talking about knee discomfort in the offseason, and he was willing to threaten the Cavaliers to say, look, trade me or I'm going to get surgery and stay out so I don't have to play for you. He knew he needed a procedure. I feel duped by somebody. I'm just not so sure that it's the Celtics.
Isn't it ironic that the Celtics end up getting duped by the Cavs, because it felt very much the other way around with the IT situation and his hip problems? I mean, of course, the Cavs knew of the hip issue, but he's never been the same since he came back.
Brian in Richmond said ESPN said Kyrie's missed 22% of his games in college and pro. I don't know if that's a fair assessment. First of all, because of 1 year, pretty much took him out of college. I mean,
he played in nine games.
So, well, you know, I guess the stats are what they are. I certainly, but that's really not important because nobody plays 82 games anyway in an NBA season anyway. They go ahead and they're lucky if they get 70 to 72 if you're a superstar. You don't need to play 82 games anymore.
It's still important, though. Are you missing those games for rest, or are you missing those games because you're injured?
Both, well, probably.
I know Colin's ready to call Kyrie injury prone. I don't know that I'm ready to call him injury prone, but I worry just that his body is not going to hold up physically in the long run in the same way that it was for Iverson, in the same way that it was for Derrick Rose, in the same way that it was for Brandon Roy and others. Now, he's not dealing with one acute injury that's going to sap him of his entire career, but I am worried that this is like a degenerative knee problem for him at this point.
Yeah, and I noticed today every conversation I heard is, well, if Kyrie's okay, not just for next year, but for 5-6 years, as you mentioned down the line. That being said, so you go after a Kawhi Leonard. What do you have to give up to get him?
Well, I don't want to give up Jason Tatum.
So no, I agree.
If that costs me Jaylen Brown, a couple of high draft picks, Horford to offset the contract, let's start there and see what we can do.
Well, do it the other way. If you were San Antonio, what would you want?
If I'm San Antonio,
I want Tatum.
Yes.
You want the whole roster.
And that matter of fact, not only do you want him, that's probably the first name on the list.
Yes.
So it's not like, okay, if we can't have Tatum, we'll take a couple draft picks and we'll call it even. That's going to be the first name on the list. That's if I'm San Antonio.
Yes.
I don't know, you know.
If I'm San Antonio, you are right. If I'm the Celtics, I'm countering, saying, look, I will give you a little bit more so I get to keep Tatum. If we're wondering about Kyrie's prognosis long term, the Celtics seem optimistic about it. Aaron's back in the studio. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN insider, who broke the story of Kyrie's surgery, he was on Golic and Wingo today talking about Kyrie long term. So, Aaron, let's get Woj number two.
It wasn't on your list.
Oh, you didn't have it on the list.
No, look, it's not his fault.
It's hard to find good
help. It's not his fault. Yesterday, intern Aaron played basketball against me. I blocked his shot so bad, I physically hurt him and took his soul out of it. His mind is clouded.
Okay.
And I think I physically hurt his shoulder, too, so he might have problems hitting that button. So I feel bad. I blocked it so bad. He may be in physical pain right now, Brady.
Aaron, we ready with Adrian Wojnarowski, number two?
Yes, we are. But I hit three of five on you. I hit two threes on you, man. Come on.
Three of five, two of threes, whatever you want. Why not just go 10 for 10? Hit the button like we told you.
What the Celtics are encouraged about and what Irving's camp's encouraged about is that the knee, the structure of the knee, it's healed. There's no damage to that knee from 2015. The tendons, the ligaments, the bone, they all healed. And so, listen, every time you cut into a knee, it's a concern, and it's foolhardy for anyone to say, there's no worries. Every time you go in there, maybe someone's diminished a little bit, but they have reason to believe it'll be stronger.
I mean, yes. That's the positive.
Why is it like that,
though?
Why? And I know it sounds real simple. As soon as you cut into a knee, it's never going to be the same. I can say that we cut into a shoulder, and it's not only the same, it's better. When we talk about Tommy John surgery.
Well, that's your elbow, not your shoulder.
Excuse me, your elbow. we cut into that, and we make it better. I don't know why, if we cut into a knee, it's got to be worse or never the same for the rest of your career. I think medicine's come across, modern medicine's come across where at least you can fix it.
I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to speculate on the knee. The only reason I know the elbow gets better at Tommy John is because you're taking out that ligament, essentially. I mean, if you're a right-handed pitcher, you're taking out that ligament in your right arm that has been beaten up for however long you've been playing.
And that long in some cases.
You're replacing it with a totally other ligament from another part of your body.
Yeah, but I know, but whatever's wrong with your knee, we're fixing it. We're taking out whatever chips and bone spurs and whatever ACL happened or whatever happens.
I mean,
it's being fixed. I don't know why it's never the same after that.
I fear that Kyrie Irving is going to end up like Dustin Pedroia at the end of his career.
Yeah, that's how
that's
I'm looking.
What I fear.
And the thing is, he's not, without even meaning to, he's now completely holding the Celtics hostage for the future. They don't, I mean, how did the Celtics know what to do as far as a guy like Kawhi Leonard? I mean, do you go after a Kawhi Leonard not knowing whether Kyrie? Can you imagine a team with Hayward, Leonard, and a healthy Kyrie on the same team?
Do you think this stops, if Kyrie continues this the rest of his career where he's hurt and it cuts his career short, does that mean he's not going to be a Hall of Famer? Does that mean he won't?
Oh, stop. You have him in the Hall of Famer instantly now. Why are we even having this conversation?
Well, now I do, but if he doesn't, I mean, if he's going to be.
You said if he never played another game, he's a Hall of Famer right now. End of story.
Am I wrong on that?
I don't think that you are, so why are we even asking the question?
Well, there's a lot of people. Look how old he is right now. There's a lot of people that's. I mean, there's Terrell Davis, I think, has played the least amount of years that's made a Hall of Fame. I mean, that's only 6 years.
I mean, Kyrie has been to, five, six All-Star games. He's won an NBA Finals. He's won a gold medal. It is a Basketball Hall of Fame, not
that's
the NBA
thing. It's
Hall
a Basketball
of Fame.
Hall of Fame, so that's the one thing on that. So I would hate to see his career get short because I think him and Steph Curry both are not going to have long careers, obviously, because of their injury and their body make.
Yeah, and you talk about the Celtics, and I know we got to take a break, but the Warriors are an absolute mess right now.
5-8 in their last 13.
Gosh, how awful were they against the Pacers last night? So they're running, and they have the same issue as the Celtics do right now.
All right, go ahead.
I was going to play one more clip real quick.
Yeah.
So I talked to Dan Feldman yesterday, and because we never got on the air, we never actually played it, but I talked to him before the show yesterday, what the show was supposed to be, and we talked about the Celtics window and talked about Philadelphia. That's a team that I am fully worried about now in the future, and because I'm worried about them, that is why I think the Celtics need to open up their window now. Dan Feldman, number two, Aaron, on Philadelphia.
They're a real threat, and so the Celtics have to time this. The luxury the Celtics have is that their window can open or close kind of whenever they want. It's like barely open right now, and it can stay barely open for another decade. It's just picking the moment of when to fully open it, and a lot of that is going to have to do with Philadelphia. Better to hope that LeBron James doesn't end up there, because that would make it real tricky to figure out when to open it.
Wow.
So that is tough, too. I don't know that LeBron's going to go to Philly, but I think the Celtics need to open that window now.
And Embiid is still having problems, though. I mean, he's been hurting the last couple of weeks. He's been hurting his whole career. I mean, it seems like all the good developing up-and-coming NBA teams have major player injury issues.
Come on, looks like we got a good crowd here at Natural Provisions. Come on down. Sample the beer. It's a lot. Great market here. Of course, all kinds of stuff to get. Deli sandwiches. I've come here for a long, long time, especially in the summertime when they're barbecuing outside on Friday. So check it on out. And our friends at Farnham are here also, so we got a lot to get to. Brady, time to go ahead and give away some tickets to my friend.
Yeah, it is time. Caller number five right now, if you know the Golikin Wingo word of the day, 802-655-6672.
The interns are back.
Everybody in front of us just jumped onto their phone.
Aaron knows the word of the day. Caller number five right now, 802-655-6672.
All right, we'll get that Red Sox ticket until you come back. Get some Patriots in. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 103 ESPN. We are live at Natural Provisions in Williston. Come on by. You can sample some of the beer here. It's a great market. Got a good deli section and all kinds of stuff. So come on by. Natural Provisions in Williston. We'll be here till 7 o'clock doing the show. Who's the winner of the tickets, Brady?
It was Jeff in Essex. Jeff in Essex wins those tickets. The word of the day. Well, we can't tell you because we're going to do it again in the 5 o'clock hour. I almost gave it away right
You did.
There,
you almost right. To, you were going to give it away right there.
One thing Jeff did say back at the studio is that it was easy for him what the word of the day was today because it's the name of his dog.
His first dog. April 16th, Orioles, Red Sox. Jeff is going two seats, primo seats, in the box seats, the boss's seats, behind the dugout.
You know, real quick, I want to tell you, do you know I walked off the court yesterday? I quit it right in the middle of, right before the game.
You mean Wednesday, not Thursday.
I mean Wednesday, excuse me. Everybody was just aggravating me, and I wasn't like I was crabby. Maybe I was a little crabby. I just walked right off the court, Brady, because nobody would pass me the ball.
Oh, go figure.
And I was red hot. I got people shooting from half court. I'm like, I'm out of here. I go, you guys suck. You guys are horrible. And I walked off the court.
That is the frustrating part about adult pickup.
Yes.
Is that you just don't know. Oh, you just don't know what's happening.
Maybe there's a chance they saw your first three or four shots and realized that you don't need the ball.
I thought it was like some like Ashton Kutcher punk thing. I expected him to come out from behind the door and go, we're just teasing you. We're all playing lousy on purpose. I'm serious. I thought Alan Funt was alive. You don't know who Alan Funt is.
No. That's funny. I do.
Candid Cameron. That is funny. See, I'm funny.
You have to be over 50 to know who Alan Funt is.
What are the Patriots doing, Brady? What's going on?
Well, the Patriots signed wide receiver Jordan Matthews, and it's a name you should know because he was a pretty good player in the league for three of his 4 years in the league, 2014 to 2016 with the Philadelphia Eagles. He averaged 75 catches a year, nearly 900 yards and 6 touchdowns per season. He was hurt most of last season. He signs a 1-year deal, terms undisclosed. But for a team that just traded Brandon Cooks, and we said that in the present that was a bad deal, this helps alleviate some of those concerns.
Well, you know, it's like saying you're going to have four guys run the 4x100 relays, but only three people showed up, so you got Arnie to run the anchor. I'm not so sure this is a great idea. This guy's, first of all, I didn't even know he had two legs left. I thought one of them fell off. The guy had a knee injury. The guy had an ankle injury. The guy has trouble staying healthy. How many catches did he have last year?
25.
Oh!
In 10 games.
There you go. In 10 games.
You would like to know how many he had the 3 years before that?
He had what, like
67, 85, and 73.
He's also had injuries, I believe, in those first 3 years.
Yes.
Also,
yes, that has been an issue.
You can't predict injuries. If this guy stays healthy, sure, it's a great pickup. But there's a lot of major injuries from last year. I mean, a knee. We just got done talking about a knee, an ankle. If the guy plays 16 games, sure, he could have 75 catches, over 1,000 yards. That more than makes up for Brandon Cooks. But if he doesn't and goes back to the injuries, they're going to be in serious void of somebody at the wide receiver.
So they get a 23rd pick, and they get a guy who does not have the same stats. Look, I'm not saying he's Brandon Cooks, but he's relatively close to get a number or first-round pick. Don't you think this is – I mean, why is he sitting out there? Obviously, it's because of the injuries. Yeah. But look at the years before that.
This is a move that Patriot fans are going to hold and say, see, this is why we say in Bill we trust. This is why we say that don't ever count out Belichick. He knows exactly what he's doing. It is a move that could make the Patriots end up looking great, right? We know that. If it works out, it's a bargain basement move that we're going to couple with a bunch of other bargain basement moves that the Patriots have made, and that's going to be good. However, the thing I just wonder is this. There are now 8 wide receivers on this depth chart for the Patriots. Right. They're not all making the team. Jordan Matthews, I saw this on Twitter today, and it's 100% right. Bill Barnwell of ESPN, this is the perfect take on Jordan Matthews. There's going to be no in between. He's either going to be a bargain basement deal that is a major home run, and we're all left wondering how the Pats got him for nothing, or he's not even going to make the team. One of those two things is going
to
happen.
It's like a car deal. And Belichick always likes to do this. Belichick will never buy the new car, the one-year-old car. He'll buy the 4-, 5-, or 6-year-old car if he's getting a great deal, and he won't take it to a mechanic beforehand to see if it turned out good, as long as you get him a great deal. That's what you're getting with this guy. You can't take him to the mechanic because you can't take him to the doctor. You don't know how he's going to be. If the car is okay, he'll be fine. You get a bargain. If the car breaks down, you got to put money into it. All of a sudden, it's not a bargain anymore. I don't think he's going to be able to last. I hope he does. It could be a good pickup. I don't think it's going to be when it's all said and done.
And I mean, this is another guy that's going to challenge a guy like a Philip Dorsett or maybe a Malcolm Mitchell. I think it's pretty safe to say if he's healthy, Mitchell's on the team and will probably even, he might even start. So I just think you look at it and it's another one of the songs to put on the greatest hits album. You know, if you've got, it's better to have 10 guys for 7 spots than it is to have 5 guys for 7 spots.
The only thing I can really read into this right now is I saw with those 4 picks that the Patriots have in the first 2 rounds, people saying, oh, they're linked to wide receivers. They're linked to, you know, they're all checking out wide receivers pro days and high value wide receivers. You've got 8 wide receivers on your depth chart right now, all of which have experience. I don't think the Patriots are drafting a wide receiver in the first 2 rounds.
I'm sorry, what was the money amount on that? Do we know?
It is not undisclosed, but they did say it's a 1-year prove it deal. I would have to assume it's between $1 and $3 million.
Well, that's my next question. Why, Brady, if I borrow $100 from you, you want the $100 back. If anything, I may have to pay you interest. I got to pay you $110 back. When you lose a long threat in Brandon Cooks, not lose him, you trade him away. It was 1 year. How much money was he making?
$8 million.
$8 million? So why are you not replacing him worth an $8 million worth of wide receivers? Why are you replacing him with a guy that you're getting for $1 million? Shouldn't you be going out, instead of bargain basement hunting for a wide receiver, go replace your top wide receiver, what was supposed to be your top wide receiver, and make sure Brady's got the weapons? Why are you trying to bargain basement now?
If I was okay with that methodology, I would have just kept Brandon Cooks at that rate.
Well, they didn't think they were going to be able to resign him. They were going to lose him completely for nothing.
Right, so you're saying, why not, am I not getting another guy for 1 year and $10 million?
No, no, no. My thing is, replace him with another high-name wide receiver. I don't care if it was a 3-year, $24 million, or whatever it is.
But you want to bring Calvin Johnson out of retirement?
Well, I would have liked that. You know, that would have been
Bolden.
But he never came. But he never did. But, see, my thing is, I mean, to replace Brandon Cooks with a guy with a 1-year, $1.5 million car, whatever, $1 or $2 million, that's not fair to Brady, is it? I mean, Brady, if I was Brady, I'd say, come on now, let's spend some of the money we just saved getting rid of Brandon Cooks. Am I wrong on that, Richard?
No, just getting back to Jordan Matthews, he's also known, at least in his Philadelphia years, as a hybrid tight end type. And that's the kind of stuff that Belichick loves, the ability to line him up in different slots along the offensive line.
This is a good move for the Patriots in the fact that it comes out and they can – it gives them another good pass-catching option who's had success in the league. However, it is not just an even switch for Cooks. As you said, Rich, earlier, it's not a vertical threat. He's not a speedster. He's more of a tough interior player. He can do a little bit more. It can do a little bit different stuff than Danny Amendola did, but it's the same kind of possession type with receiver.
You say that, okay, you compare him to what they're losing in production to Danny Amendola, but when I compared him to Brandon Cooks, we didn't want to do that.
Because you said, why are they not replacing Cooks with more money?
Or with another guy that's his equivalent.
Is out there right now is that equivalent that you can spend that much money on that isn't already on a roster?
Well, you could always trade for one. That's how the Brandon Cooks thing came down. So I don't know.
You could have traded for Jarvis Landry. Is that who you would have wanted? Cleveland gave up, I want to say, a third, I think, to get Landry.
Here's the answer. Who would Tom Brady rather have? I think Jarvis Landry.
Well, he's not a deep threat either.
Well,
he's just a much more expensive. He's making $15 million a year. He was going to make $15 million a year on the franchise.
Brady wants good route runners, and that's a guy like Matthews does that. I mean, he's not looking for the home run guy. It's good to have him to spread the field a little bit, but I think what Brady wants is a guy that's going to run to the dangerous spots and play, 9 yards in a cloud of dust.
Getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line, so if you want to jump in, 802-655-6672, Eric in Colchester. The Patriot way is to manage the entire cap while putting the best team They will spread the money around to strengthen the entire team. So, well, that's my point. They're going to take money away from wide receivers and spread it around to some of the other positions that they need.
So. That's not necessarily true, is it? I mean,
no. Well, that. It's right off the bat, if they gave Jordan Matthews a lot less money, what are they going to do with the money they save? Well,
well, there's no big name guys to go out and get. They signed Jeremy Hill for a bargain basement deal. They've got Rex Burkhead on a relatively affordable deal. They've gotten cheaper at wide receiver. Last year, they spent a ton of money in the secondary on Stephon Gilmore. So I don't know that I'm buying that they're just going to. There's no one else out there to get to give massive money to.
Andrew in Wilson said Cooks could have been a star. He wasn't used properly in New England.
Totally agree with that.
This will backfire. Landry would have been way more productive. So
Landry would be productive, but yes, he might have been too expensive. That deal Cleveland gave him was massive.
The $15 million, that's a lot of money.
$15 million was the franchise tag. Cleveland signed him to a longer-term deal, so it didn't end up being on the franchise tag, but it's still a very high-value deal.
What did Mel Kiper have to say? I want to hear some of that also, because I always love what Mel says, because you just go opposite of what Mel has to say.
Well, Mel Kiper was talking about what he thinks the Patriots need to do in the draft. He and McShay were going back and forth about, will the Pats draft a quarterback? Will they go higher up? So, Aaron, let's hear what Mel Kiper Jr. had to say.
Like, they have an opportunity. They didn't have any picks last year. They didn't have made all the year before. They are a team that needs to get young players into this program, develop young players, have a good minor league system now as college. That's what they're doing in New England, and getting good players at a variety of positions.
I think that's exactly right, because I've said that for a long time. People are talking about, oh, well, the Pats trade up for the quarterback of the future. Ah, could they trade up for Baker Mayfield? I read that today on Nesson as a possibility.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I disagree with all that. Look, I was against trading away Brandon Cooks because it compromised your ability to win now. But now you got to get that, push that to the side and say, well, they do have four picks in the first two rounds. Now let's go out and get four impact players that can help this team. And if one of those is a quarterback for the future, then fine. But give me the three others that can help us try to win now. I don't want to start going trading four picks for one guy who will play in 3 years.
And I don't know why we're even having this. They're having it on a lot just because it's the Patriots on this radio station. Because since when does Belichick give up two first-rounders to move up in the first round for anything?
I'll tell you what.
History says
he moved up, I think, in 2011,
yeah,
I think.
And I'll tell you, since when Cleveland now has two picks at number one and number four, and they have a very good trading relationship and partner with the Cleveland Browns, and with the Buffalo Bills also, who has in there with two picks.
I hope not. I agree with Brady. Let's build to the future. You got four picks right there in the first two rounds. Go get them.
And we know the way the draft works. You never hit on all of your draft picks. Yeah. There is bound to be a bust in there. There's bound to be someone that doesn't make the team. There's bound to be somebody that gets injured. That's how the draft goes. In a traditional draft, you have seven picks, just say, okay, one for each round. You're lucky. It's a home run draft for you if you hit on four of them. Now the Patriots have given themselves a better chance to hit more home runs. And as you talk about, the Patriots are the fifth oldest roster in the league right now. Fifth oldest, and a lot of the teams we talk about coming up and being good are young. Jacksonville, the Rams, and Dallas, 5, 6, 7 youngest in the league. The Patriots need to get younger. Give yourself an opportunity to get younger at multiple positions, as Mel said.
Colin Coward said today
yes,
that the Patriots want Sam Darnold.
Everyone wants Sam Darnold.
And then you hear somebody else says, as you said, they wanted Baker Mayfield. We got to cut through all the minutia. I do know this. With the Patriots and Buffalo having two picks in the first round, Cleveland would like to go ahead and get rid of that number one pick because they have the number four pick overall, and they will get the quarterback that they want. And it's not necessarily the fourth quarterback out of those four, just because you have the number four pick. They will trade that number one overall pick if the Patriots want to give up those two first-round picks and throw in another,
and
or maybe in a fourth.
All four of them.
It may have to be that.
That's what he said.
And if that's it, if that gets the number one pick, I would do it if not the Patriots to get Sam Darnold and have him quarterback in 2 years learning from Tom Brady. I would do it in a heartbeat to get a quarterback like that move up to number one.
I wouldn't, because we have seen now in the way the NFL works, we have seen more late-round quarterbacks blossom into stars or at least very adequate quarterbacks. It started with Tom Brady. We've seen Kurt Warner come out of the Arena League and win Super Bowls. We've seen Nick Foles win a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick.
Nick Foles helped win. That was the team thing. That wasn't Nick Foles doing a whole year thing.
Russell Wilson, third-round pick. Dak Prescott, fourth-round pick. Tom Brady, sixth-round pick. I don't need to give up all four of those to go get the number one quarterback.
How many teams have been ruined by getting obsessed over a quarterback? I mean, RG3. What did I mean?
No team has ever
given up everything.
No team has ever been ruined by picking the right quarterback. They only get ruined by picking the wrong quarterback.
Correct. And I just don't know if Belichick is ready to play those cards. But from what that would be a massive gamble.
From what the experts say, Sam Darnold is a can't miss.
Well, he better
I know
be.
We've argued about Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, but they say and one is thing is for sure is that Sam Darnold is 100% can't miss.
You're wiping out your future doing that.
Did we ever give the winner for the tickets? Did we give that up?
Jeff from Essex.
All right, that's right, Jeff from Essex. I totally forgot about that. All right, we're live in Natural Provisions. Come on by. A lot of people are stopping on by. Checking out the beer. Free beer tasting here.
And your wife
from Farnham Ale and Lager.
From Farnham Ale and Lager.
Your wife just dropped something unbelievably delicious. It's been sitting in front of us for 15 minutes.
I know. But we're going to be chowing that, a little chowder and all that stuff. So looking forward to that and checking it out. So Natural Provisions, 4 to 7. Come on by. Brady's going to be doing Champlain Valley Game Night from 6 to 7.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the Masters. We'll give you your scoreboard update because it is spring in Augusta,
yes.
Unlike here where it's
snowing.
Where it's polar bear season still. And then we'll talk a little hockey because that's much more weather appropriate.
That's all next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. Yeah. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, live at Natural Provisions here in Wilson. Come on by, doing the huddle from 4 to 6. Brady's got Champaign Valley Game Night from 6 to 7. So definitely looking forward to that. Brady, we met the owner,
Allison,
and her son, who is the national free throw shooting champion, made 44 out of 45 free throws, Brady.
That was her son, Jacoby. You know, that reminds me, there's this kid from New York,
yeah.
Joe Girard III. He's been offered a scholarship by the University of Vermont. He was the leading scorer in the nation this year in high school. He's from Glens Falls, New York, same high school as Jimmer Fredette. He averaged 50 points per game this year in high school.
Wow.
He is the all-time leading scorer in New York State history, when you include New York City, Long Island, all of it, by his junior year. He's already broken the all-time scoring record. He started out as a national free throw champion.
Here.
So maybe, and he just got a scholarship offer from Duke. So maybe Jacoby is on his way.
I could beat him in a one-on-one.
Oh,
yeah, come on, I could beat him in a one-on-one.
Considering he said he was in sixth grade,
Think.
And his hand is in a cast, and he can still beat you.
And his hand's in a cast. But that's okay. That is awesome. 44 out of 45.
That's crazy.
You could make 44 out of 145.
I could make 44 layups.
Arnie, you don't even get to the line enough to shoot 45.
Wow, look at you.
You don't get to the line when you never move.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's go ahead and get to the Masters. What's the leaderboard looking like, Brady?
You have my computer.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me what the leaderboard's looking like?
All I know is this. It's that Tiger Woods is nowhere near the leader.
Shot a 73 yesterday, which is a pretty good round considering he hasn't played competitively in what feels like about 100 years. And since you're Mr. Ratings guy, I will tell you this. That the Masters coverage on Thursday on ESPN earned a 2.2 overnight rating, which is the highest for the first round since 2015.
Of course.
The rating was up 40% over last year, and in 2015, Tiger also played. So
this is not the Masters. It's the Tiger Open. That's what it's all about. I probably won't watch this on Sunday if Tiger, I don't think, is in the hunt. So I would have liked to see maybe Phil, maybe make a run at this thing. That's not going to happen probably. So, I think of the Masters as a sport that's dying, an antiquated sport like some of the other ones out there. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm not big on this. I was watching a little bit before I came over here, though, Brady, when I was killing about an hour, just kind of checking it out. But if Tiger's not in it, I'm really not as interested in it anymore.
Tiger's sitting at a +4 right now, and the leader is at -7. So he is 11 strokes off the pace. That's 5 or 6 heading towards the weekend is doable, but you start getting around 7 or 8 heading to Saturday, and you got the problem. Obviously, is that there's 40 other guys ahead of him.
You know, I am not someone who looks at golf and says that Tiger has to be in it. I understand that there are a lot of people like that with sports. People will be more inclined to watch the World Series if it's Yankees and Cubs. People will be more inclined to watch it if it's Red Sox and Dodgers. I'll watch it if it's Detroit and Miami because that's just who I am. When it comes to tennis, I'll say this. If it's Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, Serena, I will watch it. If it's anybody else, then I might check out. But golf has never been I don't love golf enough to only be mesmerized by Tiger. I just am mesmerized by good theater. If there's good theater on Sunday, whether it's Tiger, Phil, Rory, or other, I will be
interested. Well, that's exactly why I watch Tiger. I don't like golf enough to watch it as a sport, but I'll watch it for Tiger or Phil. So
I like good drama no matter who the drama is with.
I mean, for me, it's just like, as I always say, you know what? I'm not a NASCAR guy, but you better believe I'm glued to the TV for the last 10 laps of the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm the same way with golf. If it happens to be in front of me and it's the Houston Open or whatever, then it's tied, I may watch a couple shots. But when it comes to the Masters, I absolutely pay attention. And I don't care whether Tiger's there or not. I mean, Justin Spieth yesterday.
Jordan Spieth.
There you go.
I just delegitimized everything I'm about to say. But no, I was watching him. Spieth hits that first shot on the 18th into the woods. It's like, oh, this is interesting. How is he going to get out of it? And he ended up only getting a bogey. I mean, he's hitting the ball out of crowds. For me, golf, as far as a spectator sport, is a lot about circumstances.
And case in point, Arnie, I understand you're going to give me ratings numbers about this, but again, I just told you, I like good theater. Sergio winning last year, winning his first major and being someone else who can break the best player to have never won a major label, that is exciting for me. I was watching that. That was great theater to me, and it had nothing to do with Tiger. If there's great theater or there's a great storyline, then I'm going to be interested.
You know, you said Serena. You're watching, tennis doesn't change from Serena to matter who's playing. The ratings pretty much stay the same. Golf is not even close.
You are right.
And basketball is the same thing. If it's not a high-end team like a Golden State or Cleveland, those ratings plummet. It's not that people don't like drama. People just don't like to see faceless teams, faceless people. They want to see the big names out there, and obviously Tiger's one of them. I promise you a lot of our listeners won't be watching on Sunday because Tiger Woods is not out
there. Yeah, and the top three right now are some guy named Patrick Reed, Mark Leishman, and Charlie Hoffman. That's not what...
I've heard of Charlie Hoffman.
Oh, I have too, but barely.
His brother Dustin was great in the
I thought his, wasn't he a closer for the Padres? Oh, that's not who that is?
All-time closer. Yeah, Hall of Famer. But, I mean, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth are 4-5, so the names are there. But right now, you know, if you've got those first three guys battling it out, that's not going to help the network.
You know, it's funny. When we talk about last week about opening day, what welcomes in spring more to you, opening day or the Masters? Because usually, maybe it's an unfair question, because usually opening day is in this week, and the Masters and opening day are the same time. But when they're separated like that, I think there are a lot of people who think opening day is the unofficial kickoff to spring, summer. And I think there are other people who think that that spring and summer don't really start until the Masters kicks
in. Well, for us up here, I mean, this, and today's a classic example. You know, you're sitting there looking at the pipe, hearing the piped-in bird sounds on your television for the Masters. There's not a cloud in the sky. And then you sit here, and the snow is piling up in the exact same situation. So, I mean, for me, it's just because I'm not that interested in golf. For me, opening day of baseball season means at some point. But we also know, if you've lived up here long enough, that spring isn't really spring until about May.
We'll have to have the 101.3 ESPN Classic this summer and have a golf tournament, though I do cheat. I want you to know that. And swinging and missing does not count as a stroke for me. Otherwise, I'll be shooting 150. So a swing and a miss does not count as a stroke.
How about tossing the ball out of the sand or out of the rough onto the fairway? Is that cheating?
Well, out of the rough is okay. Definitely okay.
It's fair.
Yeah. Out of the sand, no. But out of the rough, it's... We certainly encourage it to do something like that.
You got an 8 there, right, Arnie? Yeah. No, I got 5.
No, when I get a 15, I divide by 2. Just like everybody else, I'll go ahead and divide by 2.
That's quite a trick.
Yes.
7.5.
Bruins lose again. What is that, 3 in a row now?
Yeah,
they've struggled here at the end of the season. 2 games left of the regular season. We got about 2 minutes before break, but I just want to bring this up quick because I don't think we have talked about this at all, really, this year. Right now we talk about the Bruins, we talk about Marchand and Bergeron and Rask. And the guy that used to be the guy we talked about was Zdeno Chara, and we never talk about him now. And it is just amazing to me what he's doing. I know he's been injured a little bit more recently, but 41 years old and still one of the top 25 defensemen in the game right now, that's pretty remarkable. As we talk about Brady and LeBron and Federer aging, there's Chara, too, at 41, still playing pretty well. It's pretty impressive.
And Z is kind of funny because he's the guy that sort of lost his fastball at 34, and now he needs to sort of recreate his pitching repertoire. I mean, that's what he's turned into. He's not the guy who's going to give you, you know, 20 goals and 40 assists. That's not his game anymore. But he still puts up a plus 25 like he's doing this season, and he gives you enormous amounts of ice time playing defense.
23 minutes a game?
Yeah.
He's impressive. He's no Julio Franco?
Julio Franco.
He's no Julio Franco?
No Ichiro.
Julio Franco played the 78, I think.
He's got to have
never
a few
tell
more years.
You didn't know how old he was.
But when you think about that body almost never breaking down, he's a 6'9 hockey player.
I know.
And he never gets hurt.
Well, come back. We'll finish out the hour live at Natural Provisions next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is Friday. It is a fun Friday, and we are here at Natural Provisions in Williston. I have kicked Rich and Arnie out for this next segment because I want this one all to myself. Usually when we talk with people, they all have fancy titles. Former NFL player, current Major League Baseball player, something expert. This is the best title of all. We've got the beer goddess here. This is Jackie, the beer goddess from Natural Provisions with us. Jackie, how are you?
Pretty great. Thank you.
This is a great crowd. I have to admit, this is my first time here, but it will not be my last time here. I took a picture with the extensive beer cooler that you guys have back there. And so we're on this Winter Craft Beer Tour, and we've been to a ton of great breweries. And there's still a ton that we haven't explored yet. You have brought the best of all of those places into this one spot.
Thank you.
I might never leave.
Yeah, no, I definitely try to do that. It's always Vermont first here, so about 80% of our cooler is going to be Vermont beer.
Really?
Yeah.
So now we've got Farnham Ale and Lager with us. I had a milkshake lager before the show started. Just a sample, not a lot of it, but I'd never even heard of a milkshake lager until today. Or milkshake IPA.
Yeah, lager. IPA. Yep, yep. Yeah, no, that one's awesome. It's really interesting the way the IPAs are going now.
So you mentioned the Vermont tie-ins here, and this is a local Vermont-based store. And so what is the focus or overview of your beer section?
Well, again, it's definitely Vermont first. We try to get a good variety in here as well. So there's a beer for anybody. Again, like a Coors Light drinker, we can still find a craft beer that will be suited for you as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So if you are somebody who traditionally likes a more mainstream beer, what are some of the craft beers that kind of coincide with that thought process?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a Kolsch is a good gateway into craft beer, as they say.
Yeah.
So Kolsch styles, lighter styles like that, Hell's Lager, yeah.
Now, I'm also told you are good at recommending beer. And one thing I've noticed when I go out to restaurants a lot is people will make a very big deal about pairing certain food items with certain kind of beers. Like, how do you go? Like, how do you know what goes well with certain food?
Honestly, I just say drink what you like. I don't think you have to pair it. I don't think you have to get that crazy with beer. You know, if it's a beer that you enjoy drinking, eat it with anything you want.
Now, that's usually how I go. I'm usually like slice of pizza and any beer that's in my fridge at this point. Now, there's an extensive beer cooler back there. What are some of the things that are back there that you would recommend?
Oh, man.
I mean, there's so many choices.
There's a lot, yeah. I guess the first ones I always recommend is First Drop from Upper Pass. That's a real big crowd pleaser with the craft beer drinkers. When we have Second Fiddle In, that's another one. We get Cloud Drop once a month. That's been really popular as well. Those are all IPAs, but most people that come in here typically want IPAs also.
Now, why is that? Because I have noticed that a lot of the places that we've gone to and other breweries just that I've been to, especially in the Vermont area, the IPA and the double IPA are extremely popular. Why is that?
I mean, in Vermont, we do it really well. We get some really good, juicy New England-style IPAs. There's even a Vermont-style IPA that's super popular. So I think it's just something we do really well, and all the breweries have taken note, and every single one of them has an IPA.
Now, how is it? Some places will, I mean, obviously everyone puts their own spin and their own flavor on things, but I've tasted some IPAs where they're extremely earthy and bitter, and I've tasted other IPAs where they take a lot of that out, but it still tastes delicious. I mean, I don't know. Not all IPAs are the same. That's
expecting. It's a huge branch of beer. There's so many different styles. I mean, people typically break it up into West Coast and East Coast style IPAs, but there's so much more between all those things that I don't think you can really say that IPAs are going to be this or that. There's so many differences.
We're talking with Jackie the Beer Goddess. We are here at Natural Provisions in Williston. Rich is laughing at me because that's her name, Jackie the Beer Goddess.
It is, yes.
Now, have you been to other states and seen how their craft breweries are like? Because we've heard that Vermont does it the best.
But yeah.
Just how much better are we than everyone else?
I mean, I lived in the South for about 6 years.
I can't imagine them having good craft beer.
I mean, it's definitely growing. But I think Vermont is just so much bigger, especially for how small we are and like how much resources we have to get in order to make it so big. I'm just really impressed with how well we've been able to do it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know how many different breweries are represented back in your beer cooler?
So I don't even know if I can count that. Yeah. And it's constantly changing. I mean, I stand in front of that cooler all day, so I just have to constantly bring in new things so I don't drive myself crazy.
That was Jackie, the beer goddess. Natural Provisions is where you can find her. And we are here until 7. Jackie, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, hey, we're going to break. When we come back, Adam Kaufman, he's a Celtics expert. Maybe he's a Celtics god. We'll talk to him next, though. What's it mean, Kyrie Irving's injury long-term? That's next on The Huddle.
Back to The Huddle, where you can give us your take at 802-655-6672. Providing Arnie shuts up long enough to let you get a sentence in. 1013 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in.
That's way too loud.
I know. Well, who turned it up?
You
turned it up.
That's because Jackie the Beer Goddess doesn't scream like you do.
Turn it up for crying out loud. You're in The Huddle right here, 1013 ESPN.
My goodness.
Just gives you an idea of the different voice levels of two human beings.
Right, I don't sound like Jackie the Beer Goddess.
No, she's a little more. No one sounds like you, Arnie.
We're going to get to Adam Kaufman in just a minute. So intern Aaron will let me know when they get him on the phone. Brian and Richmond said, awesome idea for the charity best ball golf tournament with 10 sheets allowed. So I'm all for that. I'm not a golf guy, so either we do a golf tournament, a basketball tournament. We got to do something this summer. We got to get out there.
In your defense, you're not really an anything guy.
Wow. You're a radio guy. Yeah. Well, Rich, do you want us to do a bike race? We could do the...
That would be awesome. But there's no cheating needed there.
I would just cut half the course. I would do what some people do. Get on the bike early, take a cab to the end point, and then finish on the bike.
Is a moped count as a bike?
Rosie Ruiz.
Does a moped count as a bike? That's what I would use.
No engines allowed.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, so much for my big, long first-of-the-season bike ride tomorrow. My goodness, look at this. Yeah, still coming down.
Still snowing pretty good out
there. Yeah, it is. It's piling up.
By the way, come on out to Natural Provisions here in Williston. So thanks to our friends over at Farnham, we got the beer tasting going on. Lots of great things. This is an awesome place.
It is.
A lot of good food here. It's like a deli market / everything. It's kind of like your all-in-one shopping stop here. They got a great, great beer section. So come on out and say hello. Check out the show. We also got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweeping the country. We got Mark Adam Kaufman on. So let's go ahead and introduce our next guest.
Yeah, Adam Kaufman. He's on the phone line with us now. He's of WBZ News Radio in Boston and the Celtics blog podcast, and formerly of 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam, thanks for being with us, man. How are you? Adam, are you with us? I can hear Adam, but Adam can't hear me.
I knew he wasn't on. You guys were lying to me. You guys just didn't want to hear the end of my story is what was going on.
We're trying to shut you off.
You tried to shut me up, man.
We'll have to work on getting Adam.
Though.
I forgot what story. Someone said, how about a wiffle ball tournament?
We do that with Sam Adams.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and of course, we did the Travis Roy one, which was a lot of fun. We've done Rich, you were the one that went back in right field and it hit off your hand and went for a home run.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But I don't care. But the beer was
That was
cold.
The first pitch of the game.
I know. That was so funny. I wanted to kill you.
That wasn't at Travis Roy. That was at the Sam Adams.
Yes, I wanted to kill him. I was playing the win. And I hate when we have clowns on the team that do something
clowns,
like that.
Clowns, yeah. Hey, it's hard to catch a ball when you have a beer in each hand. So what can I say?
That was the first pitch of the game.
I had to drop one of my beers to make that play.
Yeah, it hit off your hands and bounced over the fence. For a home run. And I was playing hurt. I had that hamstring problems.
I'm not permanently playing hurt at everything. I can't even get out of my chair at this point.
No, I like that. I don't know. Maybe we should have a darts tournament. Do people play darts here in...
Oh, big time.
Is that a sport?
Yeah, there are some bars around the Burlington area that are big, serious tournaments.
But it's not very tough. I mean...
Sure it is.
You're throwing it from 2 inches out.
Eight feet, maybe?
You want to impress me, throw it out from like the midfield to the end zone, and then you hit the bullseye. Not when you're from two inches out, and you're just doing doink, doink, Throw it from midfield and show me.
All right, let's see if Adam is on the phone with us now. Adam, have we rectified our phone issue? Adam Kaufman, are you there now?
I can hear you. Can you hear
me?
There we go.
Adam Kaufman, WBZ
Adam,
News Radio.
Honor to talk to anybody from WBZ. I grew up in Boston, and my entire radio career was shaped on Dave Maynard and Larry Glick and all the crew back there in the 70s.
Sure.
So,
well, Adam, they predate me a little bit, but
certainly
a lot of history there.
Adam, let's talk about the Celtics. Do you feel robbed of this season? We started out Gordon Hayward. Now we end it with Kyrie Irving. I just feel like I was robbed of this entire year and what could have been.
Well, how can you not, right? And it's not me or you or any fan or media member alone. It's the whole organization, I think, feels that way. I think Kyrie Irving feels that way. I think Gordon Hayward feels that way. I think Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge, the rest of the team, everybody feels that way. There was so much hype, obviously, at the time of the July signing of Gordon Hayward, and all the more so where people realistically started thinking, boy, this team could go to the NBA Finals when Kyrie Irving was acquired in August. And then you go through training camp, and you start to see some of the chemistry and just cohesiveness that existed among everybody out there on the floor. And opening day, the 5 minutes, 15 seconds into the season, it at least partially all goes away. And then, now, like you said, Kyrie Irving and, what we'd hope would be an entertaining playoff run even without Gordon Hayward, where, okay, maybe they can get to the conference finals, possibly if they get the right matchups, still get to the NBA finals and then probably get blown out at that point. Now we're debating whether or not they can win a round.
Yeah.
Adam, now we know what we know about Kyrie and his health. If this guy played, let's say, 65 games every year and was 75 to 80%, is he still max money contract guy, or do you got to give a second thought to that?
Well, it's tricky. I mean, Ainge has hit on this in interviews recently, said that when they acquired Kyrie Irving, they didn't, they knew there were knee issues. They weren't blindsided by this, maybe a little bit by the timetable, but they knew that he was going to need future procedures, either one or multiple, to that left knee that obviously he's now about to go under the knife tomorrow for the second time in the span of a few weeks. But they knew that he was going to come in and probably be a guy that gives you 70 games a year, let's say, as opposed to 82. But given his all-world talent, basketball royalty, as Ainge likes to call him, the expectation was he's going to go out there and still going to be Kyrie Irving. So whatever, it's worth it. It's worth the cost. It's worth the Nets pick. It's worth the max money when his contract is up another year from now, all of that. But to your point, if, I don't know about games played, but if he comes back next year and looks like 75% of himself, and that's just the new Kyrie Irving, and nobody right now is living in fear of that, because everyone is saying, anyhow, that the knee is structurally sound, and that is the most important thing. But if that is the case, then, I think there are questions, obviously, and serious discussions that need to be had. But, I can tell you, the Celtics right now view him as a max player and fully intend to have him at a point health-wise where they can give him that money.
That being said, Adam, though, do you do something drastic now to maximize his window of being around with something crazy? We're starting to hear the rumors of Kawhi Leonard for half the team in a trade.
I don't think you just up and maximize the window, because the window that you're referring to would be 1 year, right? Because Kyrie Irving's contract is up a year from now. Gordon Hayward is signed, but we don't know if next year, coming off this injury, he's going to be 100%. Maybe he's not 100% until the year after, or halfway through next year, or who the hell knows, obviously. And if you need to part with Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or both and picks and Al Horford to make the money work and so on so on and so forth to try and achieve that deal, I'm in the minority here, admittedly, but I don't think that's worthwhile. I really don't. I like Kawhi Leonard, absolutely, how could you not? But this situation in San Antonio, and we don't really know all the details, we only know what we know, is a little alarming, from a health standpoint and these recurring injuries, and we know what he is when he's right, but will he be right again? Will he be what he was? And there are just, I feel like, some character flags at the moment. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy, doesn't mean he's a bad teammate, doesn't mean he's a hard player to coach. Maybe all of this is just some weird anomaly and they figure it out and San Antonio doesn't trade him anyway. But the way you look at this situation right now, it has to give you pause in terms of what you'd be willing to give up for him.
Adam Kaufman, WBZ News Radio, Celtics blog podcast, Celtics expert with us here on the Huddle live from Natural Provisions. Jason Tatum, I don't think is going to win Rookie of the Year. I think he's probably in the top three or four, but between Lonzo and Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell, he probably doesn't win it. But what has surprised people about his game coming out of Duke? I loved him, but what didn't we know that has made him so special?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're right. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year. In fact, if I'm a betting man, and I've been saying this all year long, or not all year, but say a month or two into the season, you know, for me, it's Donovan Mitchell 1, Ben Simmons 2, Jason Tatum 3. That's how I think it's going to shape up, and I think that's how it should shape up. But, you know, I think as far as what surprised people, you know, we knew that he was an offensively gifted player. We knew that he had an NBA-ready body to come in out of Duke and have the ability to, you know, give you 10, 15 points on a consistent basis if he got the minutes that, you know, required. And obviously with all the injuries, the opportunity has been there for him. I mean, he was on track to not only play but start all 82 games for this team until they decided that they're not going to play tonight against Chicago. They're just going to rest him. But, you know, I think if there's an element that has surprised people pleasantly about his game is that, you know, the three-point shooting. You know, he for a while, he was among the league leaders in three-point shooting in general, not rookie league leaders, league leaders. You know, he was converting better than 50% from beyond the arc on a considerable amount of attempts per game. Even now that he's, you know, went through that funk for several weeks and he's found himself in a good run again the last 10 or so games, he's still around 43-44%, something like that, which, you know, is way higher than he was back in that one season in college. And that was one of the things that people have since talked about, is that in the pre-draft workouts with the Celtics, they had him shoot however many threes, 100 or something like that, and just looked at him and looked at his form and looked at the success and, you know, to judge whether he could do it at the next level. And obviously they felt he could, and clearly he has to this point. And I think that's only going to continue to get better as he gets older, more confidence, repetitions, all of it. So it's been a very pleasant surprise. He just has such a terrifically well-rounded offensive game that I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. I really do. And, you know, it's part of the reasons, maybe in a sentimental fashion, that I hope they don't trade him.
Adam, does Philadelphia worry you as much as Cleveland and Toronto? And I'm talking long-term here. It seems to me, even with Embiid starting to, you know, he seems like he'll be permanently day-to-day for the rest of his career, but the Sixers are loaded for the future.
Yeah, I mean, they don't worry me really hardly at all this year, which, you know, most people would probably still say is a crazy notion, that the way they've played of late, the 12 straight wins or whatever it is, that they could potentially upset a Toronto or a Cleveland in the playoffs. And Toronto, I can kind of see. I just don't see them getting by LeBron. But to your question, are they a threat in the future? Are they scary in the future? Along the lines of those teams, they're a scarier team than those other two teams by a long shot. You know, LeBron's getting older. The Raptors, at least until they do, until we see it, they're never able to figure it out in the postseason. That Philadelphia team, you know, and credit the process, and credit Sam Hinkie, and credit the you know, good drafting for when these guys do get healthy, and it seems like a rite of passage that, you know, their top picks miss a year, the majority of a year, before they finally get going in their NBA careers. But if that team can stay healthy between Embiid, Simmons, we don't even know what Fultz is yet, Dario Saric, I really like. There's so much young talent on that team, potential, superstar-level talent that, you know, a lot of people are just assuming, because the Celtics currently have the All-Stars, that, you know, they are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference for the next decade. And that very well may be true. But I think it also discounts what kind of run Philadelphia could have if, again, and this is the big if, it has been for years, that group can stay healthy. If it can, and it has the right coach, there's a ton of potential there.
Adam, Brandon Cooks, they trade him away. Of course, they picked up Jordan Matthews. Your thoughts on what's going on in the Patriots situation with the wide receivers and just overall what you thought about the Cooks trade?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough time to really dissect the Patriots offseason as a whole, the amount of drama that's gone into that. But just the Cooks trade, isolated. He had a good year last year. He, caught roughly 70 balls, had about 1,100 yards, scored 7 times. He had a decent playoff run until he got hurt in the Super Bowl and, kind of made some poor decisions in that game in terms of, the way he positioned himself on the field. But ignoring that, again, he had a good year. His third straight 1,000-yard season, he's 25 years old. And but in saying all of that, he just, for whatever reason, the fit didn't quite work. And what I mean by that is, I don't think that Tom Brady is devastated that Brandon Cooks was traded away. In fact, I made the comment the other day that I think that he's probably more upset that Danny Amendola's gone than Brandon Cooks. I just think it's a situation where the chemistry, the trust wasn't quite there for whatever reason. Cooks wasn't in that inner circle, so to speak. And so, and clearly, and we know this at this point, the Patriots didn't want to pay him, and it wasn't about the $8.5 million this year. It was about the fact that, when he signs a new deal, presumably with L.A., he's going to get $14, $16 million a year. And that was just way too rich for the Patriots' blood for what they feel someone in that position is worth. And you can't really blame them with, you look at the production they've been able to get out of the likes of, the Welkers of the world, the Troy Browns in the past, more recently Julian Edelman or Chris Hogan or Amendola. They build receivers in labs. They just create these guys. They don't need to go out and hand somebody a salary of that magnitude. And, whether Jordan Matthews will come in after a very unsuccessful and injury-plagued year in Buffalo last year, some kind of up and down time in Philadelphia, who knows? We'll find out. But he's the mold. He's the type of guy that could come in potentially have a very good year. I just think that, the depth chart there is still good. If Edelman comes back healthy, if Mitchell comes back healthy, again, if Hogan is what he was when he's been healthy the last couple of years, factor in other pass catchers like Rob Gronkowski, who I don't believe is going to retire this year. James White is, someone that's going to catch a lot of balls for you. I just think they're going to be fine. I think as long as you have Tom Brady, the offense is going to be fine. Whether some other areas will be, that remains to be seen.
He's Adam Kaufman, WBZ News Radio, also Celtics blog podcast. Adam, great job. A pleasure. We'll definitely do it again, my friend.
Look forward to it.
Take care. Adam Kaufman, everybody. So you might want to check him out, Celtics blog podcast or WBZ News Radio. Brady, we got some tickets to give away, my friend.
That's right. Aaron, get ready back in the studio.
Get ready, intern Aaron.
It's time for Golic and Wingo's Word of the Day. Winner gets tickets April 28th, Fenway Park against the Tampa Bay Rays. Golic and Wingo, Word of the Day, caller number 5.
That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN Live. And Natural Provisions will be here until 6 in the Brady. We do in Champlain Valley game night from 6 to 7. Stop on by. A lot of people coming by for the beer tasting, Brady.
Yeah, Farnham Ale and Lager is here, and they've got their coconut IPA. They've got something called a milkshake IPA, which tastes exactly like it sounds. They're doing beer tastings. We got award-winning chili over here also. The beer cooler in the back at Natural Provisions is a ton of Vermont beer. Jackie, the beer goddess, told us at the end of hour one that they do 80% Vermont beers. They've got Heady Toppers in there, Second Fiddles in there, a lot of stuff that I haven't sampled yet that I want to.
And this place, I mean, it's one of those places, you drive by 1,000 times and then you go in and you go, wow, this is a great place.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pet products and cleaning supplies. And I think a lot of people go by and aren't quite sure what it is. They have everything.
Brady, before you got here, I used to play basketball with a girl that worked at the deli section.
Did she dunk on you, too?
No, but she was, like, taller than me. I think she played in high school or college or something. She was very, very good. I was shocked.
Everyone you play against is
I was shocked about that. So, yeah, come on by Natural Provisions. Certainly enjoying it. It is a great market. So we will be here till 7 o'clock. All right, Brandon Cooks, he is gone. Remember, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country coming up next. But Brandon Cooks is gone. We knew that. We were just trying to figure out, was it a good move? It's looking like a little bit of a better move.
Well,
but I still don't think they've got his numbers covered.
People calling it brilliant on our Facebook page. Doug on Facebook tells us, he goes, they get to the Super Bowl with him on his rookie deal, and they get a much higher pick back. That's brilliant. And Doug, I have to disagree with you. I understand the premise, but they didn't win the Super Bowl. So getting to the Super Bowl is great for most people. It's not great for the Patriots. So they didn't out-scheme the rest of the league. If they had given up the 32nd pick in the draft for Cooks, won the Super Bowl with him on a cheap deal, and then unloaded him for higher value, I'd be sitting here laughing down at the rest of the league with you. But bottom line is, they didn't win the Super Bowl. So I mean, yeah, they got a little bit better pick, but they didn't have a first-round pick last year. Don't tell me they gamed the system if they didn't win.
If you take a look at everybody they've lost, they've either not replaced that person or they've replaced it with a lesser person.
They have gotten worse in a number of positions as currently constructed
right now. Well, Nate Solder, that they, you know, I mean, losing him.
Nope, re-signing. They re-signed Lee Adrian Waddle. That's not as good as Nate Solder.
No, and then, of course, we just talked about the signing Matthews.
Well, they lose Deion Lewis.
Right.
They lose Danny Amendola.
So
they lose Malcolm Butler.
They're not nearly the team they were last year.
Well, we can debate that for the next 3 hours if you'd like to.
No, but not really.
Getting back to, I think brilliant is a strong word. I mean, brilliant is a strong word if you're having an opinion on anything. As I said on the air after the trade, I said that's an A-minus to me. You've got a situation with Brandon Cooks. You get him for 1 year. You pay him $1 million. He makes somewhat of a difference. You get to the Super Bowl. See, this is how I'm looking at it. They're the second-best team in the NFL. That's not bad. I understand it's Patriots standards and all that. But then before his big cup, before you have to pay him $8 million, you get rid of him, and you get a number 23 pick back, and he was unsignable, most likely anyway, and he didn't so-called fit into the Patriots system.
But I'm not ready to call it brilliant because you're acting like, oh, just because they got to the Super Bowl, they've somehow beaten the system. And they didn't win the Super Bowl. So, yes, last year they did not have a first-round pick. They did not have a first-round pick because they acquired Brandon Cooks, and then they did not win the Super Bowl. So those, to me, are two failures then at that point. You didn't have a first-round pick, so you didn't get a player of value for the future. You didn't win the Super Bowl with Cooks, and then you've made the best of a bad situation in getting another first-round pick this year, but you didn't have a first-round pick last year, so I'm calling it essentially a wash at that point. You did not win.
But you're recouping that lost pick by getting a 23rd pick
back. But we essentially wasted a year then. We essentially wasted a year, and to me, that's not brilliant.
No, it's more like renting a player. Top Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. But, yeah, you know, now that I think about more about that Jimmy Garoppolo trade, boy, did the Patriots get fleeced on that one. And, by the way, who do you think knows it more than anybody in the world?
Belichick.
No, even more than him.
John Lynch.
Robert Kraft. You want to know why he knows it? Because every time he goes to the owner's meeting, I bet you an owner comes up and he goes, I would have given you more than a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. What the hell are you? You don't think they talk? You don't think the owners talk? And I bet you that's exactly what they're telling him.
And, Rich, I think this is the simplest terms that I can put it in. Again, you did not game the system. You had a productive player in Brandon Cooks, and now you've replaced him. Last year, you got a productive player and lost a pick. Now you've lost a productive player and gained a pick. It's essentially a wash to me. Without a Super Bowl, I don't think it can be evaluated as brilliant.
I just look at the timing of it and having to pay him $1 million to have 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns or whatever he had and help them get to the Super Bowl. And now, just as his contract's about to explode, you get rid of him and you get a number one pick or a first-round pick.
Then maybe I'll tell you that – maybe I'll give you that financially it's well-constructed. Financially it's well done. But in terms of – Patriot fans, should you be calling Belichick brilliant for this one? The answer is no, because you didn't win.
Zach in Bristol, excellent on the Town Fair Tire text line, might as well have been written by me, says, I think the Patriots run of Super Bowls is over. No loyalty to players, and never paying up is finally catching up. And I think when you do business like that, that's the wrong business model for the Patriots.
For me, it's very simple. The run of Super Bowls is over as soon as Tom Brady is over. That's all there is to it.
Look. They gave Rex Burkhead money and kept him in the fold. That was brilliant. That one right there was brilliant. I cannot wait for another year of just Rex Burkhead takes. I love Rex Burkhead.
Really?
And now he and I are buddies from the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm debating if I should read one from the Tom Fertitta text line because, boy, does he take a slam at you, Brady.
What's that?
All right, here we go. First-time texter, too.
Uh-oh.
Says, why? It starts with a question, Rich. Why do millennials think they know everything all the time? Brady, take a chill pill. You're not the smartest sports person in the world, just like every other person that's been at the radio station. You think you know it all, but you know, DHMC? What does that mean?
Well, I can't be. Maybe I'm not the smartest sports radio
person.
Give
yourself a few years to develop some wisdom. But
maybe I'm not the smartest sports radio person, but if that person could type, then.
Yes, I was going to say, I don't know if I read that wrong or what there.
MC.
That's a short for something. I'm not hip on the whole millennial.
Youngster, tell us what that is.
What did I say?
But if this person could type, then I'll take their criticism more seriously.
DHMC. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Brady threw, Rogers says, Brady threw for 505 yards in the Super Bowl without Cooks and now has a better pick. He did throw for 500 yards without Brandon Cook, who I believe they were featuring. The defense was featuring.
That's not saying that.
That's a good point, though.
They scored 30-plus points without Cooks on the field also, but after Cooks got hurt. It's not saying that the Patriots won't get better, but you cannot look at that move and say that it is individually brilliant.
By the way, DHMC.
Yeah.
Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. I have no idea how that flows in that. He's probably.
That's not what DHMC means.
Well,
then.
I just looked it up. That's the first thing they've
done.
No,
that's
up.
Not what it means. That's not what
Maybe
it means.
Maybe you say you're stupid. No, you're so
you
dumb
gotta
that you
Google.
Need to be admitted to
no,
the hospital.
You have to. No, that's not what it means.
Maybe you
could
look for it on
you.
The Urban Dictionary.
Since we get insulted and we don't even know how we're getting insulted. Brady, who won the tickets? I don't think we ever said who won the tickets.
Mike in Essex.
Mike in Essex. You will get those Red Sox tickets. So congratulations on that. Hopefully you'll enjoy that one. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Conor McGregor, we have a lot of you're the millennial. This is the millennial sport, MMA, UFC, all that stuff. Conor McGregor and the situation that happened. That was I got to tell you, look. You guys, not you guys. I shouldn't say that. Young people think that this is like a first for sports. Rich and I know this is Muhammad Ali. Back in the day.
Every press conference.
Yeah, this is the way, and Muhammad Ali with Howard Cosell.
Right, except he wasn't quite as violent about it.
But he did. He was over the top for back
absolutely.
Then. Absolutely for back then.
But he did it with his words.
He did it with
he
his
wasn't
words.
Throwing tables through buses or whatever.
I just did. Conor McGregor. Look, I don't believe it was scripted. I believed it was planned. There's a difference. I believe they told McGregor to come in and
create a stir.
Create some trouble, as you say, and he just took it too far. He picked up, I don't even know what that was. They said it was a dolly, but it was a guardrail. Those things are heavy. Yeah. I don't even think I can lift that. Judge how strong he is. Look, the bottom line is this. Now, because of this, and I know I'm falling into the trap, now I want to watch his next fight even again.
Exactly.
I want to see what's going on. This is what makes me want to tune on in. I know that's probably wrong, but now I want to see what goes on next.
Maybe it was scripted, but it definitely wasn't supposed to go down like this.
No,
Dana
right.
White was on Get Up, the new morning show with Mike Greenberg. He said it wasn't scripted. I understand now we're talking about it, but I totally have to believe that whatever this was went totally wrong. I don't think Dana White, even if he wanted McGregor to come and make a scene, he didn't want two fighters to get injured. Now the big fight UFC
it's
233 is off. That's not part of the plan. And McGregor got arrested. I don't think that's part of it either.
Who was mentally unstable to fight over the weekend? I mean, what the heck was that all about? It was crazy.
But the Dana White thing, his reaction to it, I'm not sure what to think out of him. If there's anything that feels scripted or planned out in all of this, it's Dana White's reaction, which was, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with him. Are you kidding? That's his billion-dollar baby.
He sold it. You know that.
I understand that. But as far as his relationship with Conor McGregor, I suspect whatever he's saying is very carefully planned out.
I don't know. Look, this is the sport of the future. Boxing is no longer the sport. It's no longer millennials want to watch that. It's all about Ultimate Fighting and MMA.
Absolutely.
And it's taken over. There's no doubt about that. That's what people certainly want to see out there. Jeff in Plattsburgh says you're wound up. How about that?
says that I'm wound up.
Says, wow, is Brady wound up? He will defend the Pats and Burkhardt to his death. He
shows
great passion with no good winner. I don't even know what that means. So there you go there. Zach in Bristol says McGregor is a joke. He has little man syndrome, 5 feet tall. So he's got to act tough. Bad look for UFC. Is that a bad look for UFC?
It's a bad look for UFC. It might be publicity, but it's not a good look.
We're talking about it.
But it's like bad look, bad publicity is no such thing as, you know.
No such thing as bad press. I think this is bad
press. I think more people are going to want to tune in. I don't know.
McGregor was already somebody I wanted to tune into,
yes,
though.
I was about to say that.
He didn't need this.
Yeah.
Your wife is spilling beer.
Yeah. Well, cut her off, please.
Yeah. You're done.
Yes, cut her off, please.
She's double fisting.
All right. You know what? First of all, what's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night tonight, by the way?
Well, Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal. We'll talk about the Bruins at the end of the playoffs. And I'll address the rumors about Baker Mayfield to the Patriots.
All right, you know what's coming up next, people? Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. And we're not just going to leave it for intern Aaron. We got another intern to screw up the phones. So call now, 802-655-6672. We dumbed it down to major proportions because we want to get a winner and we're on remote. So we made it Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, or both. Tiger, Phil, or both. And for you golfers out there, it's so easy. Like, last name is Woods. That's question 7. So who is lefty? I mean, come on now. It's so easy. Start calling now. Fabulous prizes. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step 1, watch sports. Step 2, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. You better jump in now. I don't even know if the lines are full, so get in now, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Let me tell you how we play the game. We ask you a question. Let's see if the interns are on this. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you'll hear this. Wow, look at that. And we move on. If you come on the air and say, wait a minute, you're going too fast, you'll hear this. And we move on because we really don't care. If you come on the air and go, wait a minute, you got question four wrong, we don't care, you'll still hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, what do they win, Brady?
I think they might win a pair of Red Sox tickets.
Ooh, wow!
Pair of Red Sox tickets April 28th against the Rays if you can win Power.
Is the boss aware of this?
The guy who won them last segment?
Yes.
He's on vacation, so he can't use them.
Wow!
So,
Red Sox tickets
up for grabs.
Well, then we got to play it legitimately.
Yeah, we got to play it.
Wow.
What do you mean play it legitimately?
Well, that means, I mean, we got to give them a little extra time to answer or no? I don't know.
It means that you got to trip them up and screw them up and all that.
All right, well, here we go.
Because if no one wins, then we get the tickets.
Well, the three possible answers, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, or both. So you could say Tiger, Phil, or both. Tiger, Phil, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you his last name is Woods, you would say?
Tiger?
Oh, he's so good at this game.
Never missed a question.
He's never missed a question in almost 2 years. If I said to you, Rich, whatever your name is, his last name's Mickelson, you would say?
Lefty.
Oh, God. Or Phil.
I just gave you the first one.
Phil. There you go. And if I said to you, Brady, he plays golf, you would say?
Both. Okay. Although Tiger did not play it for a while.
Well, there you go. Tiger, Phil, or both. Tiger, Phil, or both. Don't make it any harder than it's got to be. Intern Aaron, are we all full up on the phone lines or what? Because I'm not going to start the game until every line is lit when we're giving away Red Sox tickets.
We are full.
So without further ado, it is time for Power Play. Wow. Who's first up, Intern Aaron?
Rich in Shelburne,
are you ready for Power Play?
I'm ready, sir.
Oh,
right.
Confidence level way down.
All Riches are smart people.
Way down. Rich, are you a Red Sox fan?
I'm a Yankees fan, so I planned on burning the ticket.
Wow. Now we're really going to hope he loses. All right, what are the three answers?
Phil, Tiger, or both.
Nickname is Lefty.
Yep.
Played his college golf in the Pac-12.
Let's go, Phil.
I didn't have confidence in him at all.
That's tough.
Well, I'm glad that a Red Sox fan has a chance to win. Yes. I want a Yankee fan to win.
I didn't have any confidence at all in him at all. That opens up a line.
When we ask you that question, just lie. Yes, you're a Sox fan.
802.
Well, if nobody wins, then they just go back and we just give them away next week.
Then I get them.
No.
And I take 3 days off to go to the game.
You may need it.
I take a week off. 802-655-6672.
People will say, Arnie, we don't want to win the tickets. Yes. We'll let you take the week off.
Yes, thank you. Who's next up, intern Aaron?
Justin in Plattsburgh.
Justin in Plattsburgh. Justin, what are the three possible answers?
Tiger, Phil, or both?
Oh, confidence.
He's got a good voice. Yes. He could be a replacement for Arnie.
Oh, my goodness. AT&T just blasting. All right, here we go. Nickname is Lefty.
Phil.
Played his college golf in the Pac-12.
Tiger.
Well, right, these
it's not Phil and
go.
It's not Tiger.
Yes.
What could it be?
Can I think about that for a second? Can I think
Someone
about
will
that?
Still get it wrong.
That's a tough question.
Oh, absolutely.
Question.
Someone will still get
Somebody
that wrong.
Somebody will still get it wrong. That opens up a line, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Tiger. Phil or both? Tiger, Phil, or both? Okay, let me rephrase the question. Because someone said it was not the Pac-12 when they played.
Oh, my goodness. Someone played golf in the Pac-10.
Pac-10. Pac-10/Pac-12.
Really?
Yes, really. You see, that's what happens when you give away Red Sox tickets. Yeah,
These schools were in the Pac-10 and
boy.
The Pac-12.
Yes. All right, who's next up, intern Aaron?
Chris in Burlington.
Chris in Burlington. What are the three answers, Chris?
Tiger, Phil, or both?
Oh, confidence level high. I don't know. I get the feeling confidence level very high. Here we go. Nickname is Lefty.
Phil.
Born in San Diego.
Phil.
Played his college golf in the Pac 10 or 12.
Both.
There you go.
Has won the Masters at least three times.
Tiger.
Was he eating like a sandwich or something?
By the way, you're live on the radio, sir. Put down the bologna.
Town Fair text line says it needs to be three strikes and you're out. No.
No.
No. No. What, three misses and you're out? No, three out of ten.
If we play
That's
30.
Like a batting average.
If we play 30 questions for an hour and a half,
geez.
Then we could
do then you could do three strikes.
It's
no, not
Friday.
Three
Here's
strikes.
The entire show in yes. Power Play.
Yeah,
it's a Power Play Friday.
802-655-6672. Red Sox tickets on the line for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweep of the country. Who's next up, intern Aaron?
I believe it is James in Fairfax.
James in Fairfax. Are you there, James?
Yeah.
Oh, James, what are the three possible answers?
Tiger, Phil, or both?
Confidence level, again, very high.
Good energy.
Very high.
He'll bring it.
Here we go. Born in San Diego.
Phil.
Played his college golf in the Pac-10 12.
Both.
Nickname is Lefty.
Phil.
Has won the Masters at least three times.
Both.
Yes.
Has won all four majors.
Tiger.
Appeared in an episode of Entourage.
Bill.
Nice.
Has been named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year twice.
Tiger.
Wow. Oh.
Uh-huh. Won an NCAA individual championship in college.
Tiger.
He came so close.
Yeah, we're getting there.
The Town Fair Tire text line, the same guy said who said three strikes. Test it out. No one wins. Test it out. Test it out.
Well, this isn't baseball with the pitch clock.
Yeah, you don't get to dictate the rules, sir.
This isn't baseball with the mound visits,
you
six visits to the mound.
You get your own show and play your own power play.
That might be our boss. Is that Ken? Does it say Ken there?
No, it's a first-time texter. Oh, okay. Doesn't have the thing. 802-655-6672. Do we have time for another? Yes, we do. Intern Aaron, who's next up?
Stephen Burlington.
Steve in Burlington, are you there, Steve?
Yes, sir.
What are the three answers, Steve?
Tiger.
Tiger.
Tiger, lion, or
bobcat.
Are you there,
oh,
Steve?
My.
Oh, I guess no Steve.
Steve.
And that might, we got time. Steve could have been our last one. We might only have one more.
But, you know, when you drop out like that, chances are he wasn't going to win anyway. I'm just guessing.
What are you saying? Phone reception is indicative of intelligence and power play?
No, but, you know, when you can only get one question in and then the phone goes bad, you know, it maybe got back through. I don't know.
People, he must have realized it was too hard.
Or yeah, he forgot to pay his bill.
People are dying to get in for the Red Sox ticket. So 802-655-6672. Do we have another one in turn, Aaron?
John in South Burlington.
John in South Burlington. Are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, Steve was going to win it, but now it goes to you. You know that, don't you?
All right.
All right. Oh, confidence level way down. Way down with John. John, what are the three possible answers?
Tiger, Phil, or both?
Well, all right. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm thinking of 1, but let's give it a whirl. Let's see what he says here. Born in San Diego.
Phil.
Nickname is Lefty.
Phil.
Has won all four majors.
Tiger.
Played his college golf in the Pac-10/12.
Both.
Has won the Masters at least 3 times.
Both.
Appeared in an episode of Entourage.
Phil.
Has been named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year 2x.
Tiger.
Won an NCAA individual championship in college.
Phil.
Oh! I don't think we got time for another.
Oh, man. We'll just have to take those Sox tickets.
We're going to have to take those Sox tickets. Who did they play that day, Brady? Tomorrow.
They're playing Tampa Bay.
Wow.
Do they play anyone else in April?
Do they play anybody else all year long?
The Yankees next week.
Yeah. Should we give the answers or should we take one more?
We can do one more.
One more. Why? One more. I'm such a softy. Gosh, I'm such
your belly, maybe.
Yeah, I'm such a pusher now.
Wow.
Intern Aaron, who's the last one?
Mike in Shelburne.
Mike in Shelburne will be the last caller. Mike.
Yes, sir.
What are the three possible answers?
Tiger, Phil, or both.
He's going to win it.
He's got it.
Oh, he's got
Just
it.
Just hand him the ticket.
We got a winner.
Yeah.
We got a winner. Are you feeling confident or what, Mike?
I'm feeling good.
All right, here we go. Has won all four majors.
Tiger.
Has won the Masters at least 3 times.
Both.
Born in San Diego.
Phil.
Played his college golf in the Pac-10/12.
Both.
Nickname is Lefty.
Phil.
Has been named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year 2x.
Tiger.
Appeared in an episode of Entourage.
Phil.
Won an NCAA individual championship in college.
Both.
Yes. Question 9. Had a better round 1 in this year's Masters.
Tiger.
Oh! No!
It was just yesterday.
No! Well, we got to give the answers.
Got to give the answers. And so I guess that means those go back in the prize closet for next week.
Wow, boy, did you guys choke. Oh, my goodness. You choked.
Says the guy with the answers right in front of him.
You missed a slam dunk with 2 seconds left down by 1.
Would have you known who had the better score yesterday?
No.
Okay. No. Just checking.
But I would have figured that out with Red Sox tickets on the line. Nickname is Lefty. That would be Phil. We gave that to you, so there was really only 9 questions. Played his college golf in the Pac-10/12. That's both. We all know that. So
Tiger, Stanford, Phil, Arizona State.
So we really only gave you 8 questions. Born in San Diego. Everybody knows that's Phil. So we only gave you 7 questions. has won the Masters at least three times. We know Tiger was at least one of them. Phil was the other.
Yes.
So it's both. How about that?
The answer is both.
Both.
Who are the two that could be?
Has won all four majors. That would be Tiger. Yep. Appeared in an episode of Entourage.
Why do you say it like that? Entourage?
Entourage.
Is that right?
It's Phil.
That would be Phil. Has been named Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year twice.
You knew that would be Tiger.
Of course. Won an NCAA individual championship in college. That would
is
be
both.
Both. Had a better round one in this year's Masters. Phil, see, I didn't know that. I know Tiger.
70 for Phil, 73 for Tiger.
Wow.
Look at this. No one was getting this 10th one.
This is a good question.
It is. That's a hard one.
What was longer, Tiger's current major drought or the time it took Phil to win his first major since turning pro?
That is Phil. Tiger is on a 10-year major drought. Last one in 2008. Phil went from 1992 until 2004 without winning a major as a pro.
Well, as they say, man. You blew it. You don't get the tickets now. So what? There you go. By the way, we're going to be taking off to go to a Red Sox game pretty soon. So, hey, when are we taking off, Brady?
That's a Saturday. So.
And they're playing Tampa, which means you get to see them win.
Yeah, let's take the weekend. What the hell? All right, we'll come back. Last story standing next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, let's go and get the last story standing before we thank everybody here at Natural Provisions.
I just thought it was funny. Yesterday, Richie Incognito fired his agency over Twitter, and then today was told you're not allowed to fire your agent over Twitter because it's not in the legal laws of termination in the NFL bargaining agreement and the collective bargaining agreement.
I love it.
He just finds trouble, doesn't he? Or trouble finds him.
Thanks to everybody here at Natural Provisions. It's been great. It is a blast. Yeah. You guys really have to come down here. Check out the beer section. It is unbelievable. I mean, if you can't find a beer here, you're never going to find a beer, Brady. It's just crazy.
And they treated us top-notch here, too. They gave us some food samples, the award-winning chili that was here. Farnham Ale and Lager. You guys had some chowder that was delicious. This place is still going strong, packed, and I'll definitely be coming back here again.
Oh, absolutely. All right. You do anything big this weekend, Rich, or no?
Happy birthday, Rich.
Yes, happy birthday.
You. I guess I'm going skiing. I was going to go biking, but
the big 3-0, right? Big 30?
That's right. Yeah. I'll see everybody in the lift line up at Smug's tomorrow.
30 years old. Unbelievable. 30. You look so good.
Like day over 26.
You look exactly 30. I want you to know that. You look your age. You look 30.
You.
All right. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next for Rich and for Brady. I'm Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.